You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
Before we start this episode, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
If you are looking for more beer podcasts just like the one you're listening to right now, then head on over to hoppedupnetwork.com. We are a podcast network focused on our local craft beer communities. Here's a quick example of one of the many podcasts you will find.
Hey, this is The Voice. I'm here interrupting one of your favorite podcasts to tell you all about mine. If you're a fan of craft beer, independent music, pop culture, and laughing at inappropriate things, then you should check out Drunken Lullabies, brought to you by Distilled Brewery. New episodes are available on draft every Sunday, so you can spend the Sabbath getting tipsy along with us. We try beers, play songs, and laugh our asses off. So go on, indulge yourself, and become a part of Drunkamaniac Nation. And if craft beer and music aren't your thing, you can listen to Drunk at the Movies every Wednesday, brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company. Listen to me and my friends provide our own alcohol-fueled commentary tracks to some of our favorite movies, unedited and uncensored. You don't have to be drunk to enjoy these movies, but it doesn't hurt. Until next time, this is The Voice saying, may your music be loud, and may your beers be cold.
For this week's episode, we've got Carnell, Steve, and me, Mike. Went to the new brewery for Dead Frog out in Langley. And when I was there, they gave me a 5-year vertical of their Commander Imperial Stout. So this episode, we're going to sit down and try all five. The first vintage is 2014, and it goes right to 2018. I think within these five beers, there's three brewmasters. I could be wrong, but I think one of them might have still been Tony DeWald. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm, what's the current brewer of Old Abbey? Can't remember what his name, but then there was some of him and then another brewer as well. So it's kind of, there'll be a difference in the styles of the Russian Imperial Stout, I think, as well as just ingredients, probably. So why don't we pour all five of these and line them up so we can
absolutely
get into them.
All right. Am I pouring?
You can pour for you, and then we'll all just
right. Pass it down.
Just don't forget which order you're pouring them
so,
in.
So this is, I've got the 2014.
And, which is the reserve series. I guess they decided at one point to change them. When they've held on to them long enough, they make a reserve series, and they actually wax dip. Whereas the other four, they didn't wax dip these. These are the original releases.
Right. And, I mean, this is cool because this is, believe it or not, one of the most successful beers in BC.
Really?
I mean, in terms of competition and, competition-winning beers. I was trying to take a look at them because I know they printed on some of their bottles, but I think there's, three or four medal wins at the BC Beer Awards between these five bottles?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the 2015, and it's a winner of two BC Beer Awards.
Yep. It's like I say, I know we've all chatted about how we feel about beer awards, one of the more successful beers in BC. And, anytime you can sort of sit down and do any five beers together vertically, it's a pretty cool opportunity. But when you can do them side by side, even cooler.
By side,
yeah. That's right.
I think this will follow that whole collect experiences, not things.
Yeah, but you collected a lot of things as well.
Just temporarily, though.
I like that. That's a good caveat.
This is my theory on gift-giving consumables.
Yeah.
I give it to you, you drink it, you throw away the bottle, we're done. You don't have to store anything.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Oh, I'm sorry. Only thinking of myself.
God, man.
Selfish bastard.
We're just going to hop into it.
So I assume we're starting down at the 2014?
Yeah, we'll start.
Go backwards.
I'm smelling the first one. I just get licorice and oak off it. That's about it. Which
letting Mike take his picture, and then I'll. Oh no,
go ahead.
There.
Yeah, but I mean, the expectation is as the beer ages, it sort of becomes more subtle and mellow. So this one should be, well, I mean, everything has a peak. It could be 3 years ago. It could be 2 years ago. It could be this one. But
I mean, some beers have peaks and valleys.
Yeah,
because it could be great in 2 years, mm-hmm. not great for at 2.5, and then it's great again at 4 or something.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But where, I mean, we should be expecting a mellower beer for this one, shouldn't we?
We should be. I'm getting a lot of like raisin, dried fruit, a little licorice, yeah. But it's not like there's no burn to the nose. It's kind of nice.
No.
And I think some of these might have been barrel aged and some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I saw in one of them here that it was barrel aged.
That is smooth. I will give it that.
This is the 2018 has been aged 45 days in whiskey soaked white oak.
Okay, same thing with the 17. So I think some of them have been aged on oak, but I don't see that in the 2014 bottle.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it wasn't.
Wow, that is really good.
Haven't tasted it yet, but the aroma is
nice.
Get
it in your mouth, Mike. Get it.
Shove it in there.
That is delicious beer.
That is really, really good.
Yeah, it is. It's got a lot of kind of chocolate, but smoke kind of hits you in the face. A bit of ash there.
Yep.
Yep, that is, quite honestly, that's like a really good cigar. Like, a little smoky, a little chocolatey, a little bitter.
It would be the best cigar I've ever had. And I mean, I do generally buy the second cheapest cigar available when I'm buying cigars, but... Well,
there's your mistake, but...
Well, to each their own, I suppose.
I don't buy them, so I don't know.
Wow. That's, I mean, go ahead.
I'm amazed, like, just how much smoke and kind of that roasted malt and that, I'm not sure if it's burnt coffee. There's something in there that's a little bit burnt, too. I'm amazed just how strong it is, considering it's from 2014.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder if you... I vaguely remember opening this one back when it was originally released and just kicking it right in the face.
I believe it.
It's interesting. I mean, it's summertime, so most people... we all tend to drink seasonally because, I mean, that's what breweries tend to put out. But I happened to have a porter the other day, and it's probably my only frame of reference for a bigger dark beer right now. And... these flavors are much more subtle, I think, than even that porter was.
Really?
I mean, obviously, a porter is supposed to be a sort of a toned down, I mean, depending on who you talk to, version of a stout or style of a stout. But in any case, man, those flavors are totally present, but they're really working together. Nothing kicks me in the mouth. It's just, I expect to taste more of that. It'll be really interesting. I almost want to go 2018 right now.
Just to back and forth.
I think I might do it.
I would say I'd go in order.
Yep.
And then after you finish the order, you can do side by sides and spin around and kind of get an idea of what's your favorite. But I think it's better to kind of progress with the beer, especially because there's different brewers and everything.
That's a great point.
It's interesting, though. This isn't as sweet as it could be for a Russian Imperial Stout, and it's 10.5% alcohol.
I actually kind of appreciate that I think sweetness would have just muddled everything. I can't say for sure, but and it's nice that it's just kind of going for that. We're bitter, we're burnt, we're ashy, and happy with it.
Yeah,
I agree. It's the sweetness isn't there, which I think we'll probably get on the 2018. It makes for a really delicious different beer. It's one of those flavors I expect you could only get when you've sat the beer in your cellar for 5 years and really taken care of that beer. And that's sort of what makes doing a big vertical really difficult.
Yeah,
and a really cool experience is that I don't know that you can get that flavor without letting it sit for 4 or 5 years.
Probably not easily, no. And I, you know, when the brewery's going to be holding them kind of for this idea, they're going to hold on to them properly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, it's one of the, if you've ever wanted to do a vertical, it's probably the easiest, best way to do it right now is to go to Dead Frog and pick these guys up, because there's very, very few breweries, I think, that would have 5 years of vintages ready.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, when I was there, these weren't like in the back hidden. These were out on the shelf when I was there.
Yeah. What? I mean, yeah, because I've got 4 years right now, and we talked about doing a show a little bit earlier. It didn't come together, but man, it's, yeah, if you've ever wanted to taste beer side by side and do a vertical, Dead Frog's got you covered. And I'm looking at the back of the 2017, and it's got winner of 3 BC Beer Award medals for Imperial Stouts, I'm assuming. So minimum three medals between these 5 beers. It's good stuff. As much as I'm not a big beer award or brewing award fan, it shows that there's a consistent level of quality in these beers.
Definitely. And I mean, this isn't one of the beer geeks' favorite breweries either.
Nope.
So the fact that they're getting all these awards for this beer kind of stands out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, why don't we bust into the 2015 now then?
I'm going to have a little sip of my blueberry Gatorade to cleanse the palate.
No, it's just blue. It's flavored blue.
Yes, it is flavored blue.
All right.
It's a little stronger on the nose. It's almost a little boozy, little rummy.
Yeah, it is a little rummy, isn't it? That's a good thing. Still got kind of that chocolatey toffee aroma.
Yeah, still a little dried fruit, but I'm just getting, the alcohol is a lot more pronounced on the nose.
Yeah.
It's really there.
Yeah, I mean, I get just much more aroma, period. Had a quick taste. It's a little bit rougher, I'm finding.
Yeah, not
that top end, maybe close to that middle of the market cigar in this one.
But what I'm liking of it, for me at least, this one does have a little more of that dark fruit and a little more chocolate to it, but it still has all that kind of ash and roasted malts and burnt coffee or something.
And I'm getting a lot more alcohol warmth off this. It's still not a burn, which is nice. That's still mellow, but I can, like, it's got that chest warming alcohol that is really nice on a cold day on a bright sunny day, because I feel like getting toasted.
Hey, at least the temperature has dropped and it's not mid to late, like mid to high 20 Celsius. Now it's, you know, it's not bad on the patio here, or deck right now.
We're in the shade. This is good.
It was really hot when I was sitting up.
I really like that.
It's still really enjoyable. It's a little bit sweeter, which I like from my Russian Imperial Stouts. And yeah, it's...
I'd say it's literally more of everything we just tasted in the one prior.
I agree.
And who's to say exactly why that is? I mean, I'm no microbiologist. I don't know what the word is. But, my personal preference is with the first one still. But if I just cracked that bottle, I think I would have been pretty happy too.
I'm back and forth between the two. I like how smooth the first one was, but I like that this one's just a little bolder.
Mm.
A little more complex.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right, I'm smelling, what is this, 2015?
16. This is 2016. 16.
What was I doing in 2016? I think I was working... I was doing social work downtown.
I was still working at the same company. I was for every vintage here.
So. Every vintage?
Oh, same here, actually.
If we had a 12-year vintage vertical, then I would be somewhere else.
That's got to get you some of those Belgian blends and goozes, right? Then we'll figure that out when we do one of those verticals. If anybody from Cantillon is listening.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So again, bit boozier.
Yeah. This one smells a little different.
It does.
Like those other two, they obviously smell different, but they smelled similar. This one smells a bit different. Like it stray from the same beer almost.
The first two were sort of a difference in intensity. This one actually has different notes. I'm like, there's a little caramel, a little butterscotch.
I get funky socks, but...
there is a little funk there, yeah.
It's a lot less roasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Way less roast, way less bitter... On the nose. It's not really bitter, I guess, but it's just less harsh.
Yeah. It's as it sits on my tongue, some of those caramelly sort of burnt sugar flavors start to come through.
They do.
A little bit more. It's much more subtle on the nose, those first sips, and then as it lingers, you get a little more flavors. It's a much more subtle beer.
I'm getting star anise on this one, which I didn't get on those two.
Oh, I don't even know what star anise is.
Black licorice.
There. Yeah, sure. With ya.
A little fancier, right?
I know what it is, too, and I was just like, damn it, I'm lost. I'm not even going to pretend on this one, because I know I'm going to sound stupid when the episode comes out. I'll just admit right now, I forgot.
Yeah, no worries.
That's nice, actually. A lot of the bitter flavors from the previous two aren't there, but the particular bitter note, the burnt sugar, is really strong, yeah. So it sort of makes up for that lack.
I'm just going to put it out there. I'm pretty sure this is a different brewer than the first two.
I'm going to say
First two were probably Tony. This is definitely a different beer. It's still got its chocolate. It's still got its caramel and all that, but it just doesn't have the bitterness and the roastiness.
Well, here's a bit of fun. Thank you very much, Dead Frog, for doing this, so we don't have to sit here and try and pick out all the malts and hops. But for those of you, I mean, I think a lot of people are starting to understand their hops. So there's two different hops in these beer. The 2015 actually made use of Nugget, which is a pretty standard bittering hop used mostly in the UK and Europe. I think it's mostly UK, isn't it?
It's popular all over. I think the UK is its biggest.
But here's the one that throws me off. On the 2016, it's actually using Bravo. And I don't think I've ever heard of Bravo.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, I've heard of Bravo. It's I think, a little more of a subtle of a hop.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I notice is 2015 versus 2016. 2015 has a lot more diverse malt bill. If you got a really developed palate, you may notice that. But at the same time, both these beers have over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 malts.
Damn.
So there's a lot of dynamism. Oof, that was close. Dynamism.
They are quite dynamic.
Yes, that's right.
Interestingly, looking ahead, 2017 does not label its specific grain bill or hops.
Yeah, so two very different beers. It makes sense that I guess we have good enough palates to pick out when it's a totally different recipe, which is good. pat ourselves on the back for that one. Yeah, very delicious.
I think for me, so far, that's my favorite. It was 2014, but I think 2016 is kind of take it for me so far.
I think I'm still going for the first two.
Well, why don't we try the 17?
Yeah. Oh. Blueberry pomegranate cleanse.
No. Taste the flavor is blue.
Gatorade cleanse. Again, very different.
For me, this one smells kind of similar to the 16.
Yeah, I actually get a similar.
I'm just getting less, honestly.
Yeah, it's not a really strong aroma, this one.
This one, something that I didn't get much of at all that I'm definitely getting with this one, I'm noticing on this one at least, is vanilla.
Yeah, it's definitely vanilla, which is probably from the wood chips that were soaked in, was it bourbon?
Yeah. Whiskey? Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's whiskey or bourbon, whiskey. I can't remember. But yeah, you know, you're definitely right. There is definitely some vanilla going on there.
Yeah, and I love vanilla, so I know some people hate vanilla, so some people might right away be like, nope, 27's not for me. 2017, excuse me.
Yep.
But yeah, I like that. And I mean, I think the weird thing was we were talking about, you know, the flavors should get stronger and punch you in the face. I mean, generally when you go newer beer. And I think the caveat to that was the in between the 2016 and the 2015. But this one is sort of bigger flavors now.
It is.
Generally.
And the change in recipe, I'm sure, accounts for some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt about it. But yeah, this is really nice. It's got that little less of the dark fruits, but a little more burnt sugar in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little creme brulee-y, actually.
Yep.
I could go with that, yeah.
It's got other things, like there's a good dark toffee in there. Little red fruit, like
tomatoes?
No. Smack.
Heresy. I was gonna say cranberry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. I didn't taste it till you said it, but I can see that.
No, I like this one quite a bit. And I've liked all of them. But it's interesting, like you say, because we're going through, you know, a beer that is vertical. I don't want to say a name only, right? Because it's the same intention behind each beer. I'm sure that's why they kept the name, right? Because they want to make a big, nice beer. And everybody tinkers, you know, batch to batch. No two batches are the same. But it's cool because it's 5 years and, you know, very few things stay exactly the same over 5 years. We've got different brewers, different recipes, and to sort of see them side by side be so different. I mean, when you get down to the flavors, it's awesome. Definitely. And still delicious.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into the 18 then. This year's
fresh.
Definitely a little stronger in the aroma on this one.
It went out my nose.
Rookie.
It's not cocaine.
Maybe that's why. Yeah.
That was my mistake, I guess. Right? Yeah. Although I will say that.
About cocaine?
No. No experience there. The aroma is actually fairly light on all of these compared to a lot of the Russian Imperial Stouts that I've had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. They're a lot less punchy on the nose. This one particular, I'm not getting a lot. I am currently sipping out of a plastic VCBW glass, so.
Yes, it's a bit of a mishmash of sample glasses.
You guys might
here.
Have a better idea of the nose than I do. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing. But it's hard to get together and 15, you know, good tasting snifters for a big beer like this.
Especially when I brought a bunch of my little sample glasses to a barbecue and forgot them there.
Yeah, as you do. As, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally should have brought my paddle.
This one seems to be in the same lineage of the 2017 for sure.
It's clearly trying to be the same thing, at least. I think I can't tell if it's exactly the same.
No, it's got the sweetness of the 17 and the vanilla and the anise and the chocolate and the toffee and all that. But this one actually has got sort of that hint from 2014. It's got a little more of the burnt coffee or roasted malts. It's got a little more smoke and ash.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of taken what you really liked of the 14 and kind of brought it into the 17.
Yeah, kind of.
To make the 18.
Yeah, it does have a more diversity in the bitter flavors that are coming. And the burnt sugar isn't nearly as strong, but you are getting, like you say, a little bit of ash, a little bit of bitter fruit.
Yeah. And it's still got like that dark fruit. I don't know if it's plums or something like that in there. It's really nice. And you know what? It's really crazy. For a 2018 bottle, which probably came out in January, it's not all that boozy.
No, this is way, way smoother than I was expecting.
This should not be this smooth for 10.5% at less than a year old.
No, I was expecting this to be rough and burny and not at all ready, but this is actually quite nice.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think it's rough by any means. One thing I do notice, and I would never claim to have a refined palate. So what I'm noticing is because it's new, I'm getting those roasted, rich, malty flavors, but I'm having trouble getting past that. Mm. And I wonder if this were to sit a little bit more, I would get, you know, I would more easily be able to taste some of those flavors that you guys are getting right now.
All right, time to start up the collecting for that next vertical. We'll get the 2018 and see what it does
in
5 years.
That's right. Yeah. It's been awesome to go through it like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going back. I'm going end to end.
End to end. Yeah. Back.
Yeah. 14 to 18.
Yeah. This is when you play and try to figure out which one you like the best, right? You can even do a cuvée or whatever they're called. Blend them.
The 18 does not stand up to the 14. No. And like you drink the 14, then drink the 18 right after, and it's just washed out.
The aroma is way stronger on the 14, which is bizarre. Way stronger.
Yeah, it's. I'm with you. I think the 2018. It's so funny when you do them side by side, and you're coming in like with an open mind. You know, they can start to, you can start to lose things. Mm-hmm. But then when you try the 2014 next to the 2018, it's interesting because I'm thinking, man, that 2018, much bigger beer, much, and I say rougher with non-negatively because it's a new beer. It's intended to sit for a while. It's not meant to be necessarily had right now. So I don't think it's a bad thing that it's big flavor.
Oh, no, not at all.
But when you compare it to the 2014, thing is super mellow. There's layer upon layer on it, and you sit there and let it sit in your mouth, and you're gonna pick those up. The 2018, good beer, especially fresh, that big a beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those things for me, the malt just pounds through on my palate, and I'm having trouble getting much more. But I buy it in a heartbeat.
Does anyone else notice, like going back to 14, now that we've kind of gone through all five, hasn't been sitting that long, really, but it's, at least in my glass, it's really opened up. There's way more flavor now than there was when we actually cracked it. So it's warmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
I do actually notice that. It has had a chance to aerate a little. It hasn't warmed up a little.
Because it's got more of that dark fruit and sweetness and burnt sugar now that I didn't taste at all when we first cracked it.
Yeah. And just a little bit of rumminess has sort of worked its way in there.
Yeah.
Which I didn't taste on the front.
Makes me wonder if it was also possibly barrel-aged.
It doesn't say?
It doesn't say. It does say it's aged, but it doesn't say that it was aged.
Yeah, I mean, something that not everybody might be aware of, but you probably would be aware of if you love craft beer and you're going into breweries and you've done a few tours, is, oaking something or putting something in barrels is a bit of a process. And it's tough to do at a large scale. And this is a really great beer, and I know they make, you know, a decent batch of it every year. My guess is because they don't specifically say aged in oak barrels, which is usually that it's the process they might do, is you can get the same wood, or actually you can get, you know, broken down barrels from, you know, big whiskey producers down in the States. You know, take your pick of any one of those.
Yeah.
And they'll, what's it called? They will drill them, so there's a bunch of surface area on them, soak them in the bourbon or whatever they want to soak them in, and then that goes in their tanks, right?
You can almost think of it as like a honeycomb almost or something.
Yeah, sorry, that's the word I'm probably looking for, is the honeycomb.
Or like, think of waffle fry.
And we're
not hungover yet.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the idea, right?
It's
drilled through. It also, Dead Frog's old location, they had absolutely no space. So there wasn't any barrel aging going on there, I don't think. It was like, you know, throwing in a bunch of wood chips or whatever that were soaked in whatever into a tank, probably letting it sit for whatever they said.
So yeah, 60 or 45 days.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you're using a lot of resources to have any beer sit for 45 or 60 days.
Especially for a non-lager.
Yeah. It's a big expenditure. I'm not trying to put down the quality, because I think, you know, that's what a lot of people do. Homebrewers, whomever, to get those awesome oaky flavors. And I've never done a side-by-side, but who knows? It could be the best way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But luckily, with the new brew house and the new warehouse they're in, the space they're brewing in is larger than their old brewery, but they also have another unit beside for storage. And I think the plan is to get some barrels in there, and maybe we'll see this properly barrel-aged.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, lots of great flavors all throughout. I don't know. I'm thinking 2017 might be my favorite. I love vanilla. And I love it when it's sort of subtly used. Like, it's present, but it's not overpowering.
Yeah.
And that's what I get off 2017, is that sort of bourbon-y, vanilla-y.
I'm getting a real vanilla punch. It's opening up even more. Like, there is a ton of vanilla in this. Yeah, I don't know. Was it 16 that I really liked? Yeah, I got to go through them all again.
Sorry about stepping away there. Erica, who guessed it on the last podcast, was told that she could only play with the phone with the volume down, and that was terrible.
Oh, that is the end of the world.
Yep, that was awful.
So you said 17 was your favorite, right, Garnell?
Yeah, I love those vanilla flavors, and I know that's not for everybody, but it's... I love that one because I think it's like the 2018 a little bit, in that there's... The flavors are more prominent, probably because it's only had a year to sort of age. But those flavors that are there are ones that I happen to love.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as sort of nuanced as the 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, it's not one of those things where you can just be like, oh, 3 years will be, you know, that amazing. But right now, I think you gave me a choice, I would be cracking the 17.
I gotta go with the 15.
All right.
The 14's gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but I like that the 15 has just a little bit more boldness to it, and kind of what Carnell was saying. I'm probably not getting all the flavors that somebody properly trained would get, but the flavors I'm getting I like, and I would happily drink that all day long.
It's interesting because 15 is probably my least favorite. It hasn't opened up like the 14 did. Like, 14's really opened up, and it's got a little more of that character I like. That one, 15, is still really, really roasty and really, really burnt, which is, it's a little too much for me. I think I'm kind of on the fence with either 14 or 18. Can't really decide. So we're all over the map here, yeah, which is awesome.
That's kind of cool.
14, the two ends of the vertical, that's really uncommon.
Yeah, no, for sure. Cause, and I actually think that they probably taste really good together.
You want me to grab you a spare glass and see if you're right?
Oh. No way. Let's just blend them together here.
All right. I'm doing it too. 14 and 18.
I got about the same amount in my glass, so let's just pour them together. Give it a little spin around here.
Just spilled on my pants.
Damn it. Son of a bitch. Good job. Yeah. You can try mine, Steve.
Thanks. I'm keeping them separate for Sarah. She's going to want to get in on this.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the best of both worlds.
So my understanding is by putting one beer inside another, we are now brewers, right? We're blenders at least.
Yeah, blenders. I think it's a... Isn't it a... That cuvee?
That is nice. Isn't that
considered a cuvee? You know what? I've just started to get into this style of beer. And it's one of the ones that's, you know, the Belgians are known for. But it's one of those things where, you know, you open it up a crack and you realize how much you don't know. Mm-hmm. I think if you asked me a year or two ago, like, oh, what are the blended beers? I've been like, I know everything about that. And now that I've looked into it a little further, like, I know nothing about this. Yeah, cuvées, and I mean, we often just call it a blended ale here, I think, or a blended sour.
Something like that, yeah.
There's a couple of, Bière de Garde is just a beer that's good.
That's the beer to age or whatever.
Is it, yeah, there's a term, though, and I bet there's probably someone listening that's, like, frustrated and calling me an idiot, which is not untrue.
Please, in the comments.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Here's just off of Google. A cuvée is a wine and beer term. Derived from the French word, looks the same, cuvée, meaning barrel or tank, mostly the name used for a blend.
Oh,
there we go. So, it's a blend of base beers.
You were right.
Yeah. Wow, more like not wrong.
Hey, I'll take not wrong any day, right?
Yeah.
Not wrong is good enough for me.
It was... But,
yeah, no, I think 14 and 18 together is a really, really good beer.
That is a solid mix. That is really good.
Yeah, well, I'm really happy Dead Frog passed these off to us because I don't think I would have bought all five at once. It's kind of a bit of an investment, and they've all been really good. I'm really, really happy we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad, hopefully you'll hold on to those ones you have, Carnell. Maybe.
Yeah.
Couple of years down the road, we can pull out the next Commander Imperial Stout vertical, maybe with a couple more in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully Dead Frog keeps making them. Hopefully. I've got 2014 through 2017, so I'll be making a trip to Langley someday.
And I can also probably pick it up, too, because I'm in Langley a lot for work, so we can make it happen, I'm sure.
We'll make sure we have another five, and then we'll just keep that...
Why stop at five?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We won't. We'll revisit this in 5 years and talk about how things were.
Well, I was saying maybe revisit it in, like, 2 years or something. Right. Maybe.
Yeah, seven.
Seven. Well, maybe wait to eight, you know.
Yeah. That's a magic number,
mm-hmm.
Culturally.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been great. I mean, they all are very tasty and deserving of those awards they got for sure.
Yeah.
So good on you, Dead Frog, and all three brewers are involved here.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you keep making more of this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess here. Cheers.
Cheers.
Nothing goes down like a cold dead frog.
I think they've gotten rid of that.
I don't care. I love it.
You and two other guys.
Yeah. What else did they have for those old sayings?
Collect experiences, not things, is not bad.
That's still on some of their bottles.
Will they get rid of that one?
I think they have now. Yeah, I don't think it's on the current batch. Yeah, no, it's gone now. All right, cheers. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com and to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum www.beer-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Beginning of the game.